Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Meseches Ksubis has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rav Yaakov ben Matisyahu Zatzal, and Chaya Bas Pesach.
The Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis talks about if the husband gave the wife Nemonus, that she won't have to swear. Kosav lo nedir shvua ein li olayich, he wrote to her. And the Ran says that it's lav dafka, he wrote to her that she doesn't have to swear or be neider to be gaiver ksuba. Even if he told her that's enough, a mechila or siluk is enough to do bepeh. In such a case, ein yochol hashbiyah, hitaka can't be mashbiyah her. The maskanas hasugia is that the shvu we're talking about in the reisha of the Mishnah is talking about shvuas pegemes. The Mishnah on Pezayin Omer Aleph says that a woman who is maida that she got a bit of her ksuba already, in order for her to be goyva the rest of her ksuba, she has to swear. If the husband wrote to her that he patters her from swearing in order to be goyva her ksuba, en yochal hashpia, hitaka can't be mashpia her. And she gets the rest of her ksuba without swearing. Now, as we said, the Gemara says that it's talking about shvua of pegemes ksubasa. Now, Mishnah later on Amud Aleph, brings a whole list of different cases where she has to swear in order to get her ksuba. If an eid echod is made that it was paid up already, she has to swear. If she's being given from nechasim meshubadim or nechasim of yisaimim, she has to swear in order to get the rest of her ksuba. The Ravid says that it says in the Mishnah that if he pattered her from swearing, that she doesn't have to swear in order to get her ksuba, that's only negeya to the shvua of a pegemes, where she said she got paid a bit, in order for her to be given the ksuba, she has to swear. Over here, the Ptur works that she doesn't have to swear. However, in the case of an eid echod made shi perua, if an eid echod was made that the ksuba was paid up, that she has to swear, as the Mishnah says, in such a case, she'll have to swear, even though he did patter her from swearing to be given her ksuba. Because when he writes to her Nemanus that you don't have to swear in order to be Gaiva, that means he believes her more than himself. That he says it was paid up, and she says it's not paid up, only a bit. Even though normally she has to swear, the Nemanus he gave her patters her from the Shvuah. But when he gave her Nemanus, he did not give her Nemanus more than an Eid Echod, and therefore she has to swear in such a case. And the Ikar Diyuk of the Ravid is that because the Gemara says that it's talking about shvuas pegemes, and not anything else. However, the Rosh argues, and he holds that when he wrote to her, or he said to her that she's going to be potter from swearing when she wants to collect the ksuba, it means that she's potter from all the shvuas of the Mishnah, and not just from shvuas pegemes. And the Rosh explains that the Gemara mentioned pegemes as the shvua that the Mishnah is talking about, is only because pegemes is the first shvua in the next Mishnah, on Pezayin Omer Aleph. But that's only a mashal, and it's not that shvua exclusively. The Gemara really means that all the shvuas in the next Mishnah are included in the p'tur of shvua when he gives her an amonas. And he explains regarding the Ravid Svara that pegemes is special because it's a shvua that the husband himself is mechayiv, masha'en kein, shvuas eid echod, that's made, that the ksuba was paid, that's something different because he only believed her regarding himself and not regarding an eid echod. The Rosh says even the shvua of pegemes is not something that the husband per se is mechayiv that shvua. Bezdin is mechayiv that shvua. Bezdin is the mechayiv a shvua on a pegemes ksubasa, just as bezdin is mechayiv a shvua when eid echod made shi yiprua. It's not the way the Ravid explains that by pegemes, the husband's mechayiv her a shvua, and therefore, when he gives her an amanus, when he writes to her that she'll be potter from his shvua against him, by pegemes, he's relinquishing his chus to be tevea shvua. Masha'en kein by eid echod, that's made, that it's paid already, there, he didn't give her an amanus because that's against an eid echod. The Rosh says, bezdin is mechayiv shvua, both by eid echod that's made, that it's perua, and by pegemes. Even if the husband doesn't demand the shvua, she still has to swear, al pi bezdin. Therefore, there's no difference between the Shvuah of Pegemis or the other Shvuahs in the next Mishnah, and therefore when the husband patters her from swearing, but in a case where he writes to her or he tells her that she won't have to swear, he patterned her from all the Shvuahs and not just from the Shvuah of Pegemis. Now, another halacha regarding this part of the Mishnah, the Ran holds that although the husband patterned her from Shvuahs, that's only from a direct Shvuah of Pegemis, or if an Eidechot is made that it was paid up, according to the Rush that we mentioned. However, if she's chayiv a Shvuah from somewhere else, the husband can be megalgil the Shvuahs of Pegemis or Eidechot made she peruah, all the Shvuahs in the next Mishnah, he can be megalgil on her if there is a chayiv Shvuah from somewhere else. And the Mishnah continues, if the husband wrote to her that he won't be mashbia her any of these shvuahs, he can't be mashbia her. But he may be mashbia her yarshim. If she died and her yarshim want to be teveya the ksuba, they do have to swear what's called shvuas hayarshim, that as far as they know, the ksuba was never paid. Their mother never told them that she got her ksuba. And he could be mashbia also habayim birshusa. What is habayim birshusa? So Rashi, the Ran, other Rishonim explain that it means that she sold her ksuba to others, and then she got divorced, and she died before being goyva her ksuba. So the lekuchas want to be goyva her ksuba from the husband. So they too have to swear a shvua similar to shvua sayarshin, that they have no knowledge of the ksuba being paid. Now, Rashi writes, v'nizgarsha umesa, as we explained, that she got divorced and she died before being goyva the ksuba. If lekuchas came to be goyva the ksuba after she was divorced, but before she died, it's mashma from Rashi, and it says mufurish in the Ramban, and it says mufurish in the Ran like this, that, of course, they don't swear Shuas HaYarshim if she's still alive. In such a case, she will have to swear that the ksuba wasn't paid, because they don't know for certain it wasn't paid. They just are swearing Shuas HaYarshim that they do not know of the ksuba being paid. So what may happen? They'll swear they don't know, and she'll come by a week later and say, yeah, the ksuba was actually paid. The halacha in that case is that she be neman, because she has a migu that if she wanted to, she could be meichel the ksuba now. Therefore, we won't make the lekuchas swear in such a case when she's still alive. Rather, we'd make her swear, because we never like to be mashbia somebody if afterwards the shvuah can be proven to be redundant. That's why if she's still alive, the grusha herself will swear. If she's not alive, then the Mishnah says that they swear shvuas hayarshim. The Mishnah continues that if he was master with her, he gave her an amanus to her and her yarshim and the boyim birshusa, he cannot be mashbia her, not her yarshim, and not the boyim birshusa, that means the people who purchased the ksuba. What happens if he died, the husband, the person who has to pay the ksuba, and the yarshim of the husband are being nitvayim from either the almana or boyim birshusa? The halach is they could be mashbia the almana or her yarshim or the boyim birshusa. What happens if the husband was masna that not only is he patering her and her yarshim and the boyim birshusa from being mashbia them, he's even patering her and the yarshim of her and the boyim birshusa from swearing to his yarshim and to his boyim birshusai? In such a case, not only can't he be mashbia them, but also his yarshim and the boyim birshusai cannot be mashbia her, her children, or the boyim birshusa. Now, the partial understanding of the Mishnah is that just like the father can pater her from swearing, that tour can also go on his yarshim. If he died and his yarshim his nechasim, and the almana wants to be geiver ksuba from the yarshim of the husband, the ptur that he gave her can also be valid on them, and they can't be mashpia here either. not only that, the Mishnah says he could also pater her from Ishvua that his Bayim Birshusai want to make her swear. Now, we explained in the Mishnah so far, Bayim Birshusa means people who bought her ksuba, that take over her schus to be gay with the ksuba. However, when we want to translate the words of Bayim Birshusai of the husband, that's not as simple. True, Rashi explains that it means that the husband sold his nechasim to the kuchais, and now the woman wants to be gaiva her ksuba from the karka that these lekuchas bought. So it comes out that if he patered her from bayim birshusai, she'll be patered from swearing to them that the ksuba wasn't paid yet. That's also how the Ritva seems to understand the Mishnah. However, the Goinim, the Ramban, and other Rishonim are not willing to accept that that's pshat in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says that he patered her from bayim birshusai. Bishlama to pater her from swearing to his yorshim. We say brokar de avua. He takes over the father's place in regards to the nechasim. Memela, if the father patered her from swearing to his yorshim, that makes sense. But if the father patered her from swearing to people who bought his nechasim and she wants to be given from the nechasim because they mishubat him to her ksuba, that's very schwer to understand that he could patter her from swearing to lekuchas. What right does he have to patter her from swearing to people who purchased his nechasim? And the Rambam paskens mefurish that the nemanus that he gave her to patter her from swearing to him or to his yarshim, that only helps, as we said, to him and his yarshim. It does not help the gabu lekuchas. Lekuchas that demand the shua from her can force her to swear if she wants to be geiva her ksuba from the land that lekuchas bought, even if the husband patterned her from swearing to bayim mikoichai. However, in the Mishnah it says that the husband can patter her from swearing to people who are bayim mikoichai, bayim birshusai. Therefore, the Ramban explains, when the Mishnah says over here that the patur that the husband gives her from swearing is valid, even if he patters her from swearing to bayim birshusai, the bayim birshusai in this clause of the Mishnah means an apotropus that he was memana, that he appointed on his nechasim. That bar birshusai cannot be mashbiah her because he's really working for the husband. Likewise, the Ramban says it's possible to explain the Mishnah. Boin birshusai means that he gave somebody his nechasim b'matna shchivmara. When a man gives his nechasim b'matna shchivmara, Chazal give it the same dinim technically as a yairish. Just like he can patter her from swearing to a yairish of his, the same way he can patter her from swearing to a bar birshusai, which would mean in this case somebody who got a present from him as a matna shchivmara, which Chazal gave a din as a yairish. But a regular lekuach who bought his field, of course, if the husband patterned her from swearing to a bar birshusai, doesn't mean that if somebody bought the fields from the husband, that the husband's tur, the husband's nemanus regarding swearing is applicable, and therefore the lekuach can definitely be mashbiah her that she didn't get her ksuba paid yet before he hands over the fields to her to pay her ksuba. Now the Ravid and the Ramah hold, like Rashi, that the ba mikoichai means the lekuchais, and the ptur that the husband gave her from swearing is applicable to the lekuchais also. Just they're machalik whether the ptur came before the lekuchais bought it, in which case the karka that the lekuach bought comes with a shibud without the potential of being mashbia the isha. However, if the ptur came after the sale of these karkois, of course the lekuach can be mashbia the woman. The Rosh Lamaisa Paskins, like the Rambam and the Ramban, the lekuchas can be mashpia, the woman who's being given the ksuba from those meshubadim, and so does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like that, that the manus that a husband gives to a wife doesn't patter her from swearing to lekuchas. However, the Shach says that if she or a malva got a manus, even for boy koichai, for the lekuchas, that they won't have to swear. If they were Taifes, they could say Kimli, like Rashi, and those Rishonim that hold that Nemanus helps even against the Lekuchais. When the husband patterned his wife, or the Leiva patred the Malva from swearing even against Lekuchais. Okay, continuing on in the Mishnah says, Halcha mikever balal beis aviyah. She, the Almana, went back to her father's house or to her father-in-law's house, but she did not become an apotropa anymore on her husband's nechasim. The Yerushim cannot be mashbiah. Now Rashi says, this case in the Mishnah is going on the case where the husband patterned her from swearing. So therefore, the Yerushim can't be mashbiah. The Mishnah continues, if after her husband died, she then went on to be an apotropus for his nechasim, so the Yerushim can be mashbiah on whatever she was Isaac with after the husband died, that she didn't keep anything to herself, and they can be mashbiah because it's their nechasim. They were Yerush, and therefore, it's as if they set her up as an apotropus, so they can be mashbiah her. But they cannot be mashbiah her for the nechasim that she dealt with as an apotropus when her husband was still alive. Now, it's mashma from Rashi, as we mentioned, that if the husband didn't pater her from being nishba as an apotropus, then the Yerushim could be mashbiah her after the husband died. Now, the Chachmei Provincia that the Rosh brings asks, why in the Mishnah does it say twice the same halacha? It says, Halacha mikever bala lebeis aviyah, ena Yerushim mashbiah naisa. The Yerushim can't be mashbiah her on the apotropsis that she did when her husband was alive. And then it says afterwards, if she became an apotropis, the Yerushim can't be mashbiah her al masha avar on what she did when her husband was alive. L'chayra, both lines in the Mishnah are saying that the Yerushim cannot be mashbiah her on the apotropsis that she did b'chayi ma'ilo. Why does the Mishnah have to say that twice? So the Rosh brings Reb Shmuel and Arvayna answers that the second part of the Mishnah is telling us that even through Gilgul they can't be mashbiah her. Even if they have another shvuah to be mashbiah her with, they can't be megalgal on her shvuas apotropsis b'chayi ma'ilo. Now the Rosh asks, even though it says that if a shutif splits up with his other shutif, and at the point of chalukah he didn't demand a shvuah, afterwards he can't change his mind and demand a shvuah from him that he didn't take any money from the shutif shleik adin. Still, if later on, for whatever reason, he has a shvuah to mashbiah him, he can be megalgal on him the shvuas hashutfin. So why would we say over here, even though the Yerushim have a way to megalgal on her, the shvuas apotropsis, the Mishnah is telling us that they can't be megalgal on her that shvuah. What's the difference between a shutif and this apotropis? So the Rosh answers, because over here, he pattered her beferish. He told her that she won't have to swear. In such a case where he's pattering her, behedya, they can't be mechayev or shvua even through Gilgal. Mashen came there by a shutif, even though he can't be mashpia him, once they make chalukas ha-shutvis and he doesn't demand the shvua, he can't change his mind, but it's not a p'tur given explicitly. In such a case, if there is an opportunity to mashpia the shutif through Gilgal, one can do so, as there is no real p'tur. Now the Chanan and Kavit Shurim really asks, what's the difference that by shutif he can't be mashbiah him after they made chalukah, because it's considered as if he was meichel on the shvuah, yet if there's an opportunity of being megalgal shvuah, the shutif can do that. Why is that different than almano, where he patterned her? L'chayra, pattering is the same thing as a mechila. L'chayra, it's hainu hach, it should be the same thing. And more than that, Rabbi Chanan asks, how could the tour that he gave her work even l'gabe Gilgul? It would seem that's a mechila on a davar shlei bar la'olam. The Gilgul isn't around yet, and yet the tour helps. Why should that work? So Rabbi Chanan explains that by kosav la neder shvua ein li'alayich, that's not that he patered her, or he was meichel her, so to speak, the chi of shvua that she'll have. It's an amonus. He believed her, lapi this chayiv. There's such a musig that a person can believe somebody else, and therefore a byproduct comes out that she's potter from swearing. But it's not that it's a mechila or a p'tur on the shvua alone. Rather, it's an amonus that he believes her entirely. Therefore, even through a gilgul, one cannot be mechayiv her a shvua. She's believed. Mashen came by mechila, even if the nitba was meichel the chiyuv shvua, but that's el vera meichel. If it comes out there's a new chiyuv through gilgul, that's not included. Therefore, by Shutfen Shechalku, even if he was Meichel on the Chiyuv Shvua originally, if there's a new Chiyuv, that's not Bechlal Mechila, therefore he can be Megalgal on him, a Shvua, Mashen Kain here, where he believed her entirely, so Meila, it's not Shaykh, a Chiyuv Shvua, even through Gilgal. Now, as we mentioned before, we explained that the Mishnah, according to Shitas Rashi, and the other Rishonim that learn like him, that the sefer of the Mishnah that says halacha mikever balu lebeis avia, that the yorshim cannot be mashbia the almana shvus apotropsus, that's talking about where the husband patterned her. If the husband didn't patter her, then the yorshim can be mashbia her shvus apotropsus even on the ohar. However, Reb Haigoin is brought down in the Rosh, learns that the case of the Mishnah and the Sefer, that halacha mikever balu lebeis avia, that the yorshim can't be mashbia her shvuas apotropsus for the apotropsus that she did when her husband was still alive, that's talking about even if the husband didn't pater her erish, even if he didn't say neder shvua ein le'alayich, still, since he wasn't mashbia her, it's as if he was meichol l'chiyuv shvua, and therefore the yosamim cannot be mashbia her either. So far we have two mahalchim in the Mishnah. We have Rav Shmuel ben Aravina, who learns that the sefer of the Mishnah that says halchom ikever balul beisavia, the yorshim can't be mashpia her. It means it's talking about that the husband patterned her from swearing, both to him and his yorshim. And in such a case, the Mishnah says it an extra time to tell you that even through Gilgul it can't be mashpia her. We said Rav Haigoin holds that the sefer of the Mishnah is talking about even without the husband pattering her from a shvua, still, since he didn't make her swear while he was alive, it's considered a mechila, and she doesn't have to swear to the Yerushim. And there's a third sheet that the Ramban brings that holds that even if the husband pattered her from swearing, he wrote to her in Amanus, still, if the Yisayimim have a chetimsa to megalgal a shvua on her, they can be megalgal on her, the shvuas apotropsus also. Not like Shmuel ben Aravina that we mentioned that holds that when the husband patters her from a shvua, there's no gilgul, not to him and not to the yorshim. Moving forward in the amud of Pizayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings machlokes whether she became an apotropa after her husband's death. Could the yorshim be mashbia her on the apotropsis that she did between the misa and the kvura? According to Rav Yehuda Merav, they could. That's already considered al ha'osad lovi, that the Mishnah says they could be mashmiah her. According to Rav Masna, even what's bein misa l'kvura, after the death, before the kvura, they can't be mashmiah her. And the Gemara explains what Rav Masna said, that it's comparable to the halacha that Nardoi said that l'kargo ul'mezayni ul'kvura, they can sell the yisayim's nechasim even without a hachraza, even if they're going to wind up getting a lesser deal for what they're selling. Karga is to pay the taxes that they owe. The king is not going to wait. According to Rashi, it means the karga, the taxes that the Yisayim have to pay for themselves. Taisus asks, it's not only karga. They can sell anything for the tzrachim of the Yisayim without a hachraza, without an auction. So Taisus explains, karga means for the almana. Just like she gets mezainis without a hachraza, she gets her to have her karga, her taxes paid, that's considered b'chlal mezainis. That can be sold without a hachraza because it's a tremendous rush to get the money for that. Mezaini, to buy food for the almana and for the yosayimim, that also, since there's a tremendous rush, they don't have to be machers, they just sell the nechasim even if they're not going to get as good a deal because they're not auctioning it off. And the kvura, they also sell without a hachraza. According to Rashi, it means to bury the mace or the yosayimim. That there's a tremendous rush, so therefore they don't have to do hachraza. Taisus says it's a davar pashut, that they can sell the father's nechasim in order to bury him, to pay for his tzarchei akfura without a hachraza. That's not a chiddush at all. Rather, the Gemara's chiddush is that if they borrowed money to pay for all the tzarchei akfura, and now they have to pay back, they're allowed to sell from the yisayim's nechasim without a hachraza, because we don't want people to be hesitant next time as far as lending money for tzarchei akfura. Al Kolpanim, we see for all these three things that are urgent to get money soon, we're allowed to sell without a hachraza. Therefore, likewise, Bein Mis L'Kvura, when she is selling Nechasim in order to pay for the Tzarchei HaKvura, for the cost of the burial, in all likelihood she's going to sell it at a lesser price. She's not going to do a good job as an apotropos. Therefore, we don't make her swear because she can't swear that she wasn't mezalzel. She was mezalzel. We know she was mezalzel. She didn't do a good job. She sold it for less than its value. But that we understand that that's going to happen because of the urgency to get funds to pay for the kvura. Therefore, we don't make her swear.
That's Shitas Rashi. However, Taisus asks, so we're not going to make her swear that she wasn't Mezalzel. Let's at least make her swear that she didn't take any money to herself. She didn't pocket anything. Of course we'll swallow that she was Mezalzel, she sold things for cheaper. But why do we let her off the hook from swearing that she didn't put any money on the side for herself during that period between the Misa and the Kvura? So Taisus explains that what we pater her from Meshvua is because if we don't pater her, she may be hesitant to take on the apotropsis. And therefore what's going to happen is she won't sell Nechasim, they won't have money to pay for the cost of the burial, and the mace will be mutal b'bizayin. He'll be lying around without anybody taking care of his burial. We don't want to ever allow such a situation. Therefore, we let her know that if she's going to be an apotropis for this period between the Misa and the Kvura, she won't have to swear, therefore she won't be so hesitant to be the apotropis, and the mace will not lie around b'bizayin. And actually, according to Taisus, that's similar to when the Gemara says that l'kvura, they sell without a hachraza. It's the same idea, that we'll do things that may cost the yisayim money in order to avoid ever having a situation where the mace is mutl b'zoyin. Just like l'kvura, Taisus explains that they're allowed to sell without a hachraza, without an auction. Rather, they'll do a quick sale to pay for the loan that they borrowed money for to pay the tzarchei hakvura. Because we always try to avoid a situation where the mace is going to be mutal b'bizayin, and if people are going to hesitate lending money l'tzarchei kvura, because it'll take a while till they get paid back, there's going to be an auction, we want to avoid such a situation. So now when a person knows that he lends money l'tzarchei kvura to the yisayim, he'll get it back immediately. There won't be a hachraza, there won't be a shuma, there won't be any auction, they'll sell it to the first bidder. And we do this in order to avoid ever having a situation where the mace is lying around b'bizayin, the same way we say to the almana, don't worry, become an apotropis. We're not going to be mashbia you, that you didn't take anything to yourself, because we don't want to have a situation where apotropis is going to hesitate carrying out his apotropsis, and the mace will lie around b'bizayin. Therefore, it's worth it for us to have the yisayimim swallow potential loss and not allow the mace to lie around b'bizayin. Continuing further in the Gemara says there are different shitas. If the husband said loy neder v'loy shvua, can't be mashbia her, but the arshim could be mashbia. If he says niki neder, you're clean of a neder, niki shvua, you're clean of a shvua, even the arshim can't be mashbia her. There's another shita in the Gemara that says if he says niki shvua, both he and the arshim could be mashbia her. What he meant is you should be menaka yourself, should clear yourself with a shvua. Another shita holds that if he says loy shvua, niki shvua, in both cases the yarshim could be mashbia her, he can't. If he says mnechsaya ilain from these nechasim, both he and his yarshim can't be mashbia her. Then the Gemara brings Abba Shol, b'nei Miriam, who holds whether he says loy shvua, whether he says niki shvua, whether he says mnechasai, whether he says mnechsaya ilain, neither he nor the Yorshim could be mashbi her. Avol ma asa, what can I do? Sharei omru chachamim, the chachamim said, haboli parim nechsi yisayim liyiparel b'shvua. The fact is, Chazal said, someone who wants to be goyva from the chasim of yisayim has to be nishba. Even though, when he says, niki neder, niki shvua, she should be potter from swearing to the yisayim. But Chazal said, liyiparel b'shvua. And the Gemara is Maskan is Amrav Nachman Amrav Shmuel Halachah Ben Eima Miriam. The Halachah is like Abba Shol Ben Eima Miriam, like we said, whether he said Loi Neder Loi Shvua or Niki Neder Niki Shvua Menachasai Menachasai Ilain. It doesn't matter really what he said. It should really patter her also from him, also from the Yisayimim. But Chazal said that anyone who's goyva from Nechasim of Yisayimim has to swear. There's a very big machlokes for Shainim how to understand this Halachah. In the previous Mishnah, we learned that if somebody patters his wife from swearing to the Yisayimim, she doesn't have to swear to the Yorshim, the halacha is she's patter. The Nemanus works. Yet here, the Gemara seems to pass on like Abba Shol ben Eimah Miriam, that she has to swear to the Yisayimim. So the Rif and the Rosh understand that Abba Shol ben Eimah Miriam is only talking about a case where he said Niki Neder, Niki Shvua, or he said, Leinad or Leishvua, he could have said, Menachsaya Elain. In all those cases, he's Machayev her to swear to the Yisayimim. really, in theory, he says, I would want to pater her from swearing. That's what the Lashon is, Niki Neder. You don't have to swear at all. You don't have to be Neder at all. However, Chazal said, we don't go Basar the Mashmos of the Lashon, and we say that somebody who is Nifram Nechzei Yisayim has to swear. However, in the case of the Mishnah, where he patered her Mefurish, where he said, Neder Shvua Ein Li V'loy Li Yarshai Olayich, in such a case, of course, Abba Shaul is Maida that we don't say Abali Param Nechzei Yisayim Li'ifra L'Bishvua. The husband patered her. However, Rabbeinu Chananel, Taisus Nedav Pechesim with Beis, and several other Rishayim learn that Abba Shaul holds, because the Chachamim said, Hanifram Nechzei Yisayim Li'ifra L'Bishvua, somebody who's Goiva from Yisayim has to swear, even if the husband patered her Beferish from the Yisayim, the halacha is that she has to swear. Chazal were so keen on making sure she swears to the Yisayimim that it's mafkia the ne'emonus that the husband gave her. In Eben Ezra Simon Tzadik Ches Yifav, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Shittas, that if he patered a beferish from the Yarshim, she doesn't have to swear to them, like our Mishnah. The Ramah, however, Paskins, like Rabbeinu Chananel, and Taisus that we mentioned, that hold, even if he patered a beferish for the Yarshim, she still has to swear, as Chazal made a takana, to be oikir that nemonus. However, there is a shita that holds that even in the shita that holds that one cannot pater her from swearing to Yisayimim, if he made a kinyan to strengthen the p'tur, it does work. However, the Chalkas of Chalkik himself rejects that shita. He says there's no difference. Once the Chachamim made a takana, she has to swear, there is no way around it. She will always have to swear according to Shita Rabbeinu Chananel to be goyva from the Yisayimim. Now, the Rosh points out an interesting halacha that one needs to mention the p'tur from the Yarshim b'vhedya, b'furish, in order to have the p'tur valid, in order for an isha to be goyva a ksuba from the Yisayim, or for a malva to be goyva the chay from the Yisayim, without having to swear, there has to be a p'tur b'vhedya from the Yisayim. That's only when the loiva writes an emonis allowing the malva to be goyva without a shua. In that case, there has to be a mefurish p'tur against the Yisayim also. However, in a case where the malva writes an emonis to the loiva, that if the loiva says the shtar is perua, he's going to be believed, even against the shtar, in such a case, the loiva will be believed with an emonis, even against the Yisayim, even if it doesn't say a word about giving him this emonis against the Yisayim also. And the reason being is, as far as the Lev is concerned, that shtar is karua. That shtar is ripped up because he has the power to always patter himself against that shtar. And there's no taina on him. You should have ripped it up or you should have gotten a shaver if it's true that you paid. Because he could say, I have my winning card inside the shtar. I know that I could always taina that I'm believed. As far as I'm concerned, that shtar doesn't exist and therefore they yarshened a ripped shtar. So he's not meant to say parati. However, the Rif points out that he still will have to swear a shvuas heses because the namanus that the malva gave him was only to be believed against the kayach of the shtar. But it's no less than a regular milva alpe, which needs a shvuas heses to patter himself entirely. All right, moving on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah brings different chiyuvei shvuah midrabanan on this isha who's being gaiva her ksuba. And normally a person who's gaiva with a shtar doesn't need to swear. Still, the Mishnah lists several cases where the chachamim are masakin for her to swear. If a woman is paigim her ksuba, that means that she admits that she got a bit already. In such a case, if the husband says that it really paid the entire thing, she has to swear. If she's gaiva from the chasei yisayimim, if she's gaiva from the chasim shubadim, if an eidachot is made that it was paid up already, in all those cases, she has to swear a shvua, and then she can be goyva the ksuba. Although she has a shtar in her hand. And technically, she doesn't need to prove anything. She has the proof in the shtar, still chazal, mechayva a shvua, as we'll see the rationale in Amud Beis. Now, the truth is, chazal, we're masakin that if a loiva tells the malva, I see that you have a shtar against me, but I paid you. Ishtivali d'loi praticha, swear to me that I didn't pay you back, he can be mechayev meshua. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that a pegemis has to swear? So the Gemara Masechet Shavuos Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph says, normally a person doesn't have to swear that the shtar is not paid up unless the loiva claims that it was. However, over here in our Mishnah, either Pegemes or a case of someone who's Gaivim and Chasim Meshubadim or from Nechzi Yisayimim, in all those cases, Bezdin forces the Shvua even if the loiva does not demand it. Because by a case of Pegemes, we have a chshash that the loiva really finished paying everything. As the Gemara says in Amud Beis, the para daik, the person who pays is careful, he has an exact judgment of what he paid. The mifra loy daik, the one who gets paid, isn't so medayik in how much he got paid. So therefore, if the husband or the loiva says, I paid everything, and the malva or the isha say, only a bit was paid, we're mechayev them to swear, even if the loiva or the husband do not say, swear to me. And likewise, by nifrash loy befonov, or if she's gave him an achasim shubadim, or she's getting paid from the yisayimim, in such a case, even if there's no one who says that the rest of the chayv is paid up, since the klal is taninon for the kuchos or for yasmi, because psach pichal ilim, somebody doesn't know what to taina, bezin will taina for them, therefore, even if there's nobody taining for them, it was fully paid up, bezin tainas it for them, and therefore, even though nobody's saying it's fully paid up, the malva or the isha, in each respective case, has to be nishba. Now, getting back to the case of Pegemes, that she is moida that she got paid back a little bit, so the halacha she has to swear she wasn't paid the rest, because once she started getting paid back a little bit, the Gemara says it's possible she got paid back the rest and she forgot about it. So therefore, the Chachamim made her swear. Now, the Shittas HaRambam is that the halacha that a pegemes has to swear before she's goyva the rest of her ksuba, and likewise a bal chayv whose meida that he was paid a bit of the shtar can't be goyva the chayv unless he swears he wasn't paid back. The Rambam learns that chiyuv shvua is only if it's achar zman, after the zman apiroin, so it's possible he got paid back the rest and he didn't remember. However, if it's toich zman, if it's still before the due date of the chayiv, we're not machayiv the malva to swear, because the klal is ein adam pareya chayiv v'teich zmanai. Generally, a person will not pay his chayiv before it's due, and therefore we don't have to be chayshish that really the rest of the chayiv was paid up, as it's before the due date. However, the Magen Mishnah is not in agreement with the Rambam. As he says in this case, we see that this loiva is not part of the general chazaka that ain't on the pereya chayv teich zmanai. You see, he paid a bit. So obviously, he does pay teich zmanai, so maybe he paid the entire chayv. Therefore, the Magen Mishnah is mefakvek on Shitas HaRambam in this. And actually, the Torah brings Rav Haigoin that says clearly that teich zmanai, there is also a din of shvuah by pegemes. Now, going further in the Mishnah, we mentioned that if Eid Echor is made that it's paid off, the Isha, or a Bal Chayiv, for that matter, who has a shtar, and has to pay a payment, and the Eid Echor is made that it's paid up, the Isha and the Bal Chayiv have to swear in order to get paid, although they have a shtar. Now, it's noteworthy, the Shach and Simon Pei Dalad, Sif Katan Zayin, brings the Kesef Mishnah that holds that the halacha of Eid Echor Meid Shipurua, that the Isha or the Bal Chayiv have to swear before they collect what's due to them, is only if the husband or the loiva are tining bebari that they paid up. But if they're Shema, they don't know that they paid up, and the Eid Echor is saying bebari, he knows for a fact that it was paid, in such a case, there is no Shvuas HaMishnah over here. However, the Shach himself holds that even if the husband or loiva is misupik, it's a shema, whether they paid up the rest of the chayv or not, and there's an eid echor that's made as parua, there is a shvuas hamishnah. And the reason being, just like when a eid echor is made to be mechayev mamon, the eid echor says Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon doesn't know. Still, Reuven has to swear to pater himself, because we say eid echor l'shvuah is the same thing as two eidim l'mamon. Just like two Edim that say Reuven owes Shimon money, it doesn't matter whether Shimon knows or not. He's chayiv to pay Shimon. The same way, if an Eid Echot says that Reuven is chayiv money to Shimon, that Reuven has to swear, even if Shimon doesn't know. So the Shach says, likewise, a Shvuas HaMishnah, to pattern oneself, will have the same halacha. That although the Loiva doesn't know if he paid up the rest of the Chayiv, he's Mesopik, since an Eid Echod is made to pattern him and say that it was paid off, if the Malva wants to collect the money of the Chayiv based on the Shtar, he has to swear. Now that's only by Eid Echod Meid Shipruah, we find the Machlokes whether the Baal has to be a Bari or even Beshema, that's still going to be Mechayiv Shvuah because of the Eid Echod. However, in a case of Pegamus, if the Baal is not saying, for sure I paid up the entire Ksuba, in such a case, Bezdin will not make her swear the Shvuas HaMishnah. That's Mefurish in the Chalks Machaikek, Simon Tzadik Vav, Sif Katan, Chav Gimel. Now let's continue on into the Gemara. Gemara brings that Rami Bar Chama understood that the Shvuah in the Mishnah, the Shvuah of Pegamus, is the Shvuah of the Araisa. It's like a Maida B'Mixis. The husband is saying he paid her 200, the entire ksuba. And she says, I only got 100. She's Maida B'Mixis. And the halacha is that a Maida B'Mixis has to swear a Shvuah of the Araisa. So Rava said, Shtei Tshuvas B'Dover. There are two Pirches on Rami Bar Chama's understanding that the Shvuah in the Mishnah is the Araisa. Because all the Shvuos in the Torah are Nishbayin V'Meshalmin. They patter themselves from swearing. The classic case of Maida B'Mixis is the Loiva says, you say I owe you 200, I'm Maida 100, I'm going to swear that I only owe you 100 and pay you 100. Here by the Ksuba, she's being Goyva the Ksuba. She's demanding to get paid, and when she swears, she gets what she demands. That's not the regular case of Shvuah D'Araisa. And Rava says more than that, the rule is that there's no shvua on a kfira of shibut karkois. When a person is being nitva, a shibut karkois, and he's makhish, he doesn't have to swear. There's no shvua on karkois. And the ksuba, or any shtar, has a shibut karkois. So how could we say that the shvua over here is a shvua d'araisa? So Rabbi said the shvua in the Mishnah of Pegamus is the shvua madirabanon, as we mentioned before. Chazal say the paradayik, the person who pays is very careful to know exactly how much he paid. The mifra loydayik, the person who got paid, is not as careful. And therefore, the Rabbanon made the person who got paid, namely in this case the Isha, to be more careful. And that's why they made her swear, so we know she'll be more exact in her cheshbon. Now the Rishonim have a hard time understanding what was Rami Bar Chama's Havamina. Of course he knows that all the Nishbayin in the Torah are Nishbayin v'loy Meshalman. How could he have a havmina to say that in the Mishnah's Shvua of Pegamus is a Shvua Madiraisa, where she's a Nishban Vinaitlan, where she takes? The Ritva says that Rami Bar Chama didn't mean Mamish Madiraisa, he meant Ke'en She'el Torah, it's something like a Diraisa. However, the Ran says a very clear Mahalach to explain Rami Bar Chama's understanding. Rami Bar Chama understood when the Pasuk says, V'lo yishalim, on a person that swears, that's lav dafka, the idea is that he's not paying. It's not that the Torah is telling us that shvuah is a way not to pay. Rather, the shvuah is, according to Rami Bar Chama, a chetimtza to keep things at its status quo. If you want to be mighty mammon from somebody, so if he swears, he keeps things at the status quo, and you can't be mighty mammon, you can't make him pay. Things stay in their original chazaka. However, in our case, when an isha is a pegemes, her ksuba, she has a ksuba that says the husband owes her, let's say, 200. The husband says, no, I paid you 100. What's happening is the husband's trying to change the chazaka rishayna. He's trying to change the status quo. So she's going to be nishba and keep things the way they are. When a woman has a shtar that says something, that's the pashtus. That's the chazaka rishayna. The husband, by saying that he paid a bit, is changing the original chazaka. When she swears, she'll be mamid the situation on its original chazaka. It's similar to a case where a person says, I'm not paying, and I'll swear to keep my money. Here that she has a shtar that says the husband's chayv to her, she's swearing to keep the original matzav, and therefore it's doima to a case of nishboin v'loy mishalman. As far as the kasha that Rava asked, Einish Bon al Kfiro Shibut Karkois, the Ran understands that Rami Bar Chama argues on that. The rule of Einish Boin al Ktira Shimud Karkois is based on the limud that Einish Boin al Karkois, that if there's a taina on Karka Mamish, one doesn't swear. To say Einish Boin al Ktira Shimud Karkois, that the taina is not on Karka. When a woman is being goyver ksuba, she's not asking for Karka necessarily, she's asking for money. The Shibud is on Karka. That's already an extrapolation. That's a second level limud of Einish Boin al Karkois. Not only Einish Boin al Karkois, Rava says, Einish Boin al Kfiro Shibud Karkois. On that second halacha, Rami Bar Chama argues, and he says, true, Einish Boin al Karkois, that's Mishnah in Bav Metzia. But Einish Boin al Kfiro Shibud Karkois, that already is a chiddush, to that I'm not masking. Now, as we mentioned, Rava holds that the Shvuah of Pagamis in our Mishnah is only a Shvuah Midrabanan. Why? Midiraisa, she has a shtar. She doesn't have to swear. Just since the para daik, the mifra loy daik, the person who gets paid, is not so medakdek, so Chazal made her swear. This way she'll taka be more careful in her cheshvan. Atayse asks Akasha, why don't we believe her with a migu? You see, if she said, I didn't get anything, she'll be believed. She has a shtar. It doesn't matter what the husband says. Unless he says, ishtabali le paratich, she's not going to have to swear. So if she was kofer hakol, that she didn't get anything, she won't have to swear at all. Now that she says that she got paid a bit, then she has to be nishba shvuas hamishna of pagemes. Fractisis, believe her with a migu, that she could have been kofer hakol, she would get the entire ksuba without a shvua. So migu, that she could have said, I didn't get anything, believe her when she says, I got paid back only a bit. Fractisis answers, the reason of loidayik doesn't mean that she doesn't try to be careful. She tries. She's just not certain. It's hard for her to keep track, and therefore it's easy for her to make a mistake. If we'd say migu, that she could have said, I didn't get anything, and now that she says, I got something, believe her, that she could have said she didn't get anything, why will that help? I taka believe that she sincerely believes that she only got 100 and not 200. But she's talking bidadami. She's going to make a mistake because the mifra loy daik. Migu helps when we think a person's lying, that if the person was lying, they'd say a better lie. But over here, I don't think she's lying. I just think she's making a mistake. The mifra loy daik means that she is uncertain of the cheshbon because she's taka not that careful. Therefore, migu won't help. I taka believe that she thinks that she only got 100, but in reality, maybe she got 200. That's why Chazal make her swear. However, Taisus has a kasha on this from the Gemara in Shvuah Staf Memheyam and Beis, that a socher is a nishba v'neitel. Actually, the Gemara brings it a few lines from where we're holding now. That a person who's an employee and is teveya his employer and says, you didn't pay me, and the employer says, I did pay you, the halacha is the socher, the employee, is nishba v'neitel, because we say that the balabas is tarid v'payalav, he's very busy with all his different workers, and he believes that he paid well, he really didn't. Therefore, Chazal gave an amanus to the sacher, to the employee, and as long as he swears that he didn't get paid yet, he gave mechayiv, his employer, to pay him. Yet the Gemara says, if the employer hired the employee without edim, and he really could be makhesh and say, I never hired you, since he has a migu, to say that I didn't hire you, we believe him when he says, I paid you. Fractisis, according to the svara that we said before, that when a person is apt to make a mistake because of loidaik, we won't believe the person even with a migu, because we tell the person, we don't think you're lying, we just think you're mistaken. And for that, migu doesn't help. If that's the case, so by sacher, the same reasoning should apply. When the balabas says, I paid you with a migu that I could have said I didn't hire you, we should say, of course you think you paid him. We don't doubt that. We don't think you're lying. We just think you're mistaken because you're tarid b'payalov, because you're very busy with your workers to make sure the work gets done. You may think you paid while you actually didn't. So what does migu help in a case where we believe the person may be mistaken? That's Taisus Kasha, and he blibes Tzarech Iyun on this Yisoid. The Ritva, however, answers Taisus's original Kasha, why don't we believe her with a migu that she could have been a non-pagemis, if she was lying, she would say, you didn't pay me at all, and she has the ksuba to back her, so believe her with a migu that she could have said a better lie if she wasn't being honest. The Ritva answers, that's not a migu. Because to be brazen enough to say that you didn't pay me anything while she knows that she was paid the ksuba, that is not considered a migu. To say, believe her, that she was paid half only and not the entire thing, because she could have said, I wasn't paid at all, such a chutzpah for her to tell her husband, you didn't pay me at all while she got paid the entire thing, that's not called a migu. She wouldn't have the audacity to do that. Masha Enkein, for her to say, I was paid a bit, as the Gemara says, people who get paid are not always exact. And it's not such a ha'oza for her, it's not such a chutzpah for her to say, I was only paid a bit, because she can always excuse it, I forgot, I didn't make the cheshbon properly. But for her to say that she wasn't paid at all, that's ha'oza, and such a migu is not considered a good migu. Moving further on in the Gemara asks a shaila, what's the halacha if she's pegemes or ksuba be'edim? That means, she says, I got, out of my 200 zuz ksuba, I got 100 zuz in front of edim. So the Gemara clears, do we say that since she got in front of edim, her first 100, we see that she's makbid always to get in front of edim, and since there are no other edim on the other 100, she should be able to be goyva at least that? Or do we say that no, punt the first time that she was goyva, she had edim, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's always taking the payments of her ksuba in front of edim. The Gemara does not come out with a clear maskana. Therefore, the Rosh paskins that she is not goyva, even though she's pegemes be'edim, unless she swears. However, if she was typhus, so it works because it's a suffix in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yochanan asks the kasha. Why does the Rosh paskin that in the case of pegemes be'edim, which the Gemara has a suffix about, that since there's a suffix, she's not going to be allowed to be goyva the ksuba unless she swears, the svara should be just the opposite. Midiraisa, she has a star. There's no reason not to give her the ksuba midiraisa. It's only that the chum made a takana not to give it to her unless she swears. We have a suffix whether the takana is applicable here or not. If that's the suffix, whether there's a takana shvua or not, she should get it even without the shvua. We should be kevea the halacha on the pashat din. The question is, were chazal mechayiv a new shvua? If you have a suffix, so let her be goyva ksuba even without the shvua. V'chanam blives b'tzarachiyon. Now another small ha'ara on this last Gemara. Rashi says the reason that if she's a pegemes be'edim, there's a tzad to say that she still has to swear, and we don't say if he paid more, there'd be edim on that payment also, because maybe isrumuya isrami devu edim bahu zimna. Maybe punked by the first time there were edim. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he always will pay with edim. The Taz in Simon Sadik Vav, Sif Katan Yud Beis, is medayik from that, that if the husband Taka brought edim, and was miyachid edim by the first piroin, to say, you be edim on the piroin of this amount of the ksuba, in such a case the Taz understands that it's pashut that she doesn't have to swear to be goyva the rest of the ksuba, because there it's pashut, im isa, the para ba'edim have a parala. If he paid her more, he would have paid her with edim. As you see, that he clearly doesn't trust her, and that's why she won't have to swear to be goyva the rest of the ksuba. However, the Taz brings a prisha that seems to hold that even if the husband wasn't miyachad edim, even in such a case, the Gemara has a suffix, and therefore she would have to swear. Later on, the Gemara brings a shaila. What's the halacha with a woman who's poicheses ksubasa? In the shtar ksuba, it says the ksuba is $1,000. She is a poicheses. She says, really, the ksuba is 500. And the shtar was just a shtar amana. The husband wrote it for me, but he trusted me that I won't be goyva it, and I'll be honest, and only take 500. Do we say in such a case that she has to swear that she didn't get her ksuba if her husband says that he did pay her everything? So the Gemara does prove that a case of pechesses, she doesn't have to swear. Now really, in the Gemara's Havamina, the Ritva asks, what's the Havamina? Why would I think it's comparable to Pagamis at all? Pagamis, she got paid a bit. The Gemara says, Demifra Ledaik, she's not that careful, and she's maybe making a mistake. But here, she's not saying that she got paid at all. There's no chance that she made a mistake. So the Gemara really answers that Enochinami, there is no rationality, mechayv or shvua al tzpagemes. Just the Gemara says, "Have a mina." It could be it's a loy plug, just like
Zal said that if she admits she was paid a bit, the ksuba is not chayav the full value. She has to swear the same way if she's a pechesses, where she says that the ksuba is not chayav the full value that's written. Also, it could be that Chazal made her swear in such a case, until the Gemara says, no, they did not make such a takana, al taloid plug. The Rav Ash says a svara that the Gemara is a havamin, we might think that she's a ma'aremes, she's playing games. She knows that if she admits she got paid a bit, she'll have to swear. Therefore, she says the entire ksuba was only worth less than that what's written. And therefore, we might think she has to swear not to give her this option of being a maremes and avoiding the chiyuv shvua of pegemes by being a pechesses. Kamash malon, no. Chazal, we're not chayshish, and therefore, she doesn't have to swear. Now, really, Tosis asked the kasha, in the end of Dura Maschel Oy Dilma, every pechesses should be a chshash of a pegemes who's trying to avoid the shvua of pegemes. She won't be taking anything that doesn't belong to her. On the other hand, she won't have to swear. According to the Rav Ash that we just mentioned, that's really the Gemara's Hol Sha'akva Batarya. And the Gemara says, we're talking about Chayshish.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.